Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to the Lifebook Member Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. Life Vision Month for 2019. What a powerful month as we lead into 2020 with your Lifebook journey. And we have a very powerful guest today, a very special guest. He's an author, he's a speaker, he's the mind behind Mind Valley. I'm so excited to speak with Vishen Lakhiani today. How you doing, Vishen?
Hey, Jordan. It's really good to be here. And I love talking to Lifebookers, so I'm excited that you invited me.
Yeah, man. I'm so excited to talk to you for Life Vision Month. I'm thrilled with everything you've got going on. Let me just say in the beginning, Vishen, thank you and congratulations. First of all, thank you for what you've done with Lifebook. I've seen Lifebook as this, you know, kind of out-of-the-box program, and it needed an out-of-the-box package, and you've really done that, man. So thank you, and congratulations on the incredible success at Mind Valley. How are you feeling right now? How does it feel to be where you're at in your journey, successfully fulfilling your life vision of expanding global consciousness?
Well, I think it's pretty darn fulfilling. I love where I am. It can also be really tiring. I just got off a flight today, Jordan. I was flying from Dubai to Kuala Lumpur. And the last 3 days have been among the most busiest in my life, but exciting busy. And so it's a combination of like feeling fulfilled that your life has meaning, that you're doing good work, but also, gosh, man, I just want to rest and get some sleep.
I know what you mean, man. Especially the way Lifebook is blowing up now worldwide. You're taking it into different languages. I mean, you must be on over the moon about this.
Yeah, in fact, I got off the plane. I flew in from Dubai. I had 5 hours sleep. I tried to catch up on sleep. I got off the plane and immediately we went into editing mode on our new Lifebook Masterclass with John and Missy.
Jeez.
So today has all been about getting ready for a big launch of the new Lifebook class that's starting in January.
So cool. We look forward to that. Everybody stay tuned. Vishen, I wanted to talk to you about Life Vision, all the incredible work you've done with the different Mind Valley authors, your own work that you've done with meditation, visualization techniques. Let's just dive into this. I would love for you to expand on this concept that you talk about, you know, bending reality, shifting your mental perspective and your frame of consciousness to alter your reality. Can you talk about that for Life Vision Month?
Sure. Well, bending reality is a level of existence where it almost seems as if luck is on your side, that the universe has your back, that you move easily towards your goals. Mm. And there's a formula for it. The formula is really simple. The first thing is you got to understand that you cannot tie happiness to your goals. Your happiness has to come before you get to your goals. This is called the paradox of intention. It states that your happiness must come from the journey and not just from arriving at the destination. Today's science tells us that happiness is rocket fuel towards greater productivity, towards movement, towards goals. If you read books such as Sean Aker's Happiness Advantage or Shijat Shamin's Positive Intelligence, you'll see that happiness actually magnifies our ability to move towards our goals. Mm. But so many people have an if-then model of happiness. They decide that they will be happy when they get to a goal. The trick is to flip it, to be happy and joyful in your current state. Now, that's the first ingredient. The second ingredient of bending reality is to have goals that pull you forward, goals that are so exciting, that pull you forward to the point where you don't need motivation. Mm. You are lit up from pursuing these goals itself. When you combine these two pillars, you move into a truly wonderful state of being. Now, some people say that you're activating the law of attraction. Other people say that you are rightfully using happiness as fuel and momentum to move you towards your visions in life. Some people say you're accessing altered states of existence. Depending on what philosophy or spiritual teaching you look at, there may be a different way of describing it. Mm-hmm. But these two ingredients, when you bring them together, they seem to bring magic into your life. Now, the big mistake that people make is that they pursue their goals while under stress and anxiety. They are worried about achieving their goals. Mm-hmm. They are stressed out as they pursue their goals. The trick is to be in elevated states of existence where you can remove stress, you can remove fear, you can remove anxiety. And this seems to create this beautiful sense of the universe pulling you effortlessly towards your goals. Mm-hmm. Look, I came from a really busy last couple of days and I said, I'm tired. Tired is different from stress, anxiety, fear. I'm not fearful about achieving my goals. I don't have anxiety. I'm tired. So I'm actually going to stop working after this podcast and go to bed early and get an 8 hours rest. Nice. Because when I wake up the next day, I want to feel blissed out. I want to feel joyful. I want to be in a happy state. So again, Bending reality is being fully conscious of these levels of existence, having visions pulling you forward. My life book is that vision, but being joyful and putting into play the discipline of bliss, or as I call it, blissipline in your day-to-day living, so you move towards these goals easily.
I love that. And you know what you said about the if-then mentality, I think that's so insidious in modern society especially. It's almost as if we've put our happiness on, you know, wealth or fame or these one things, where it's just an objective-based happiness seems to usually be an unhealthy kind of goal. Is that a fair statement?
Absolutely. And if you look at culture today, right, if you follow many entrepreneurs today, they spread this lie of hard work and hustle.
Right.
It is a myth. Hard work has no correlation with happiness. If you think hard work is what is going to get you to success or happiness, look at Chinese factory workers manufacturing Nike, the iPhones. They're working hard, right. 10-hour shifts. Are they happy? Are they living fulfilled lives? Now look at John and Missy Butcher, right? They have built an incredible life, but they make room to move between work and rest and play. When I hang out with John, I always laugh about the fact that after lunch, he takes a nap, right? He just disappears for like 2 hours.
It's true.
And that self-care, that recovery time, that ability to move into, to do the things that actually keep you in elevated states of being is crucial to moving you towards your goals. This is what we mean by discipline. And by all means, we have to discard and destroy this rule, this bullshit rule of hard work and hustle as a means to accomplishing our life vision.
I'm right there with you, man. Let me ask you this, Vishen. You are more qualified to answer this than maybe anyone I've talked to. I've been kicking around this question when it comes to visualization and manifestation. You know, people talk about manifesting things in their lives. People talk about karma and, you know, the law of what goes around comes around. I've been thinking, is that such a supernatural principle that kind of weighs in on our lives in a more magical way? Or is it more mathematical, like and concrete, like a law of gravity or something? Or maybe it's a little bit of both. But I feel like we treat karma like this magical force, and maybe it's a little more mathematic and more concrete. What do you think about that?
Well, I think firstly, we got to talk about what we mean by magic and what we mean by mathematics, right?
Right.
I mean, who's that science fiction writer? Maybe it was Isaac Asimov who said, any technology sufficiently advanced seems like magic. Right. And then it was the spiritual physicist, Nassim Haramein, who said spirituality is nothing more than physics that we don't have the mathematics for. So at any point in human history, there's going to be aspects of knowledge and reality that we have yet to understand. And we have to admit that. We think that we've figured it all out. No, I mean, as scientists peer deeper and deeper into the atom,
totally,
things get weirder and weirder, right, and weirder. And so the fact is, we don't truly know the nature of reality. We don't truly know who we are here. I was in Silicon Valley a couple of years ago, and I was at a meeting with a group of investors and experts, and we were exploring the top AI and virtual reality companies in the Valley. And I was observing this panel on stage, and there were six of the biggest minds in AI and virtual reality and augmented reality.
Whoa.
And the question they were asked is, how many of you here think that we are living in a matrix, whether a matrix created by an advanced civilization, and that we are actually in someone else's computer game?
Oh God!
Right, for lack of another word,
how many people? I'm scared to hear how many people raised their hand.
5 out of 6.
Oh my gosh!
5 out of 6. So whether we are in the computer game of an advanced civilization, or God exists and we are a creation of God, or everything is simply random and this is a random universe, right? The fact remains that we don't really know.
Yes.
And that many people, thousands, millions of people, in fact, I've observed, every time I teach a class, I ask them, how many people have observed these instances where it's just seemed that there was a crazy amount of synchronicity and coincidence in your life that defies explanation, that defies probability? The majority of the room holds up their hand. I believe that too. And I've noticed that I can put myself in states where this magnifies and magnifies and magnifies. And so I decided to figure out what those phases are, what are these states of being, and just be in there more often. And I think that's one of the reasons why I seem to live a fairly blessed life, as does John and Missy Butcher, and as does so many people who have a life book. So I don't care how it works. I don't care if it's math, or physics, or quantum physics. I'm not going to talk about what I don't understand and what science has yet to explain. But what I do believe is that our experience of the world is tied inextricably to our mental states, to our mind, to our desires, to what we believe is possible, to what we expect is possible, and primarily to our emotional states on a day-to-day basis. And when our emotional states are blissful, what we seek as the visions in our mind tend to come to us faster.
It's beautifully put, man. And I loved what you said about, you know, science catching up with the spirituality. That's exactly what I'm talking about. And I don't think that I could have got a better answer. Let me ask you this. When it comes to visualization techniques, when it comes to entering these different states of mind, gratitude practices, these types of things, do you find that they get both easier and more effective with time? Kind of like when you're lifting weights, you can go up in weight and do more reps more easily?
Absolutely. And practice is also essential, right? Now, many incredible performers around the world credit their success to creative visualization, to these type of transcendent practices. Mm-hmm. And by the way, a transcendent practice is any practice that you use to move away from the physical world and to go within yourself. For example, in September, one of our students here at Mind Valley, Bianca Andreescu, beat Serena Williams and won the US Open.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so Bianca Andreescu is a student of Mind Valley. And after she beat Serena Williams, she went up, being Canadian, she went up to Serena to apologize. And the reporters thought that was so cute. So they asked her, Bianca, you're so positive. And where does this come from? And in the interviews, and you'll find this on the web, she pulled up her phone. She said, let me find my phone. And she pulled it up and she opened up my book, The Code of the Extraordinary Mind. And she credited this book, my book.
That's so cool.
With helping her get into these states. Now, Bianca also said, because Bianca is one of my students. She graduated from my seminar on creative visualization. It's called Becoming Extraordinary. She graduated from the seminar 1 year ago, 1 year before she won the US Open. And she said that she'd been practicing visualizing beating Serena Williams for 3 years, from 16 to 19.
Jeez.
And at 19, she beat Serena Williams. Now think about that, right? There's power in this. So many sports people have been practicing this. And the cool thing about sports people is that they instantly see results. I believe the Australian psychologist Alan Richardson found that visualizing yourself shooting basketball through a hoop. In his study, he had people divided into three groups: no practice, practice on court, practice in the mind. The people who practice shooting hoops on court had a 25% improvement, but the people who practice in their mind had a 24% improvement.
Jeez.
This shows that mental practice can be a profound thing. The best results come from combining real-world action with mental practice. So one of the things that I really, really, really believe is that you got to hone the skill. Now, you ask, does it get easier the more you practice? The answer is absolutely yes. One researcher who studied this is Jose Silva. He wrote the book Silva Mind Control.
Right.
Now, Jose Silva said that you don't want to jump the gun, right? What he means by this is, look, if you've never trained in sports before, don't visualize yourself winning an Olympic medal. Mm-hmm. If you've never healed a pain before with the power of your mind, don't try healing cancer. Don't jump the gun. You got to start small. And you got to have three ingredients to make your visualization work. The first is desire. You must really have solid desire. If you don't have desire for what you want, you won't feel the joy and the excitement of attaining it. You won't feel motivated to go on. So you must have desire. But the second thing is you must believe it's possible. If you believe that it's impossible, I mean, if you never started a business before and you set a goal to have $1 million in your bank account from a business by the end of year two, I don't know if you're going to believe that,
right?
Because it isn't that easy. It's going to take some time, right? But once you get that million, your belief system is going to go up. And now you're going to easily believe that you can get to 10 million and then 100 million. So belief is the second ingredient. Now, as you practice, as you see results, your belief goes up. Think of your belief as your reservoir of faith. The more filled your reservoir is, the better things are going to come to you. But there is a third ingredient. The third ingredient is expectancy. You must expect it to happen. If after your visualization, you come out of your meditative phase and you're like, oh shit, I wonder if this is going to happen. You've just short-circuited the process.
Right.
You must come out with positive expectancy that this is going to come true. Sam Walton, who became the richest man in America. Sam Walton had a track record of mysterious success from the time he was a kid. He would declare these impossible goals that he wanted to be the youngest Eagle Scout in his state. And it would happen. When he joined college, Sam Walton decided that he wanted to become the president of five different clubs, the Bible Club, the Honor Society. He decided that he was going to be the captain of the basketball team and the football team. And of course, as an adult, he decided he was going to build the biggest company in America, Walmart. But Sam Walton said this in an interview for his biography. He says, "I go into every situation expecting to win. Thinking like that often turns into a self-fulfilling prophecy." So these three ingredients are supremely important: desire, belief, expectancy.
I'm so right there with you, man. That's such a good point. You know, what have you found to be your favorite, your most effective, your most powerful visualization practices that you've come across after working with all these different authors? What mind techniques do you like the most?
Well, the 6 phase meditation is what many athletes today use. This is a meditation protocol that I designed. It's being used by many sports stars. It's been written about in Billboard magazine and countless articles, because very often when interviewers ask these celebrities, like, "What's your meditation practice like?" they mention 6 phase. So Google 6 phase, you'll find it. It's all over the web. I just finished teaching 6 phase in Facebook, Inc. I just finished teaching 6 phase in Dubai at the close of a massive entrepreneurial festival for 3,000 entrepreneurs. They wanted to close it with 6 phase. So if you haven't heard of 6 phase, Google it. I think it's one of the most powerful meditations for manifesting out there. And it's just blowing up, man. And I made it free so everyone could use it. So check out the 6 phase. Now, what makes the 6 phase work is that, as the name suggests, there are 6 phases you go to before you manifest. And the first 3 phases are about raising your emotional frequency. It starts with compassion, and then it goes on to gratitude, and then it goes on to forgiveness. Many people make the mistake of going straight for visualization. But the 6 phase gets you in around 4 to 5 minutes to first jack up your level of emotion by focusing on 3 different crucial pillars of positive emotion: compassion, or the feeling of being loved; gratitude, or happiness; and then forgiveness, or inner peace. Then you go to visualization of your future, and then you go to visualization of your current day, and then you go to a phase called the blessing, where you ask for whatever higher power you believe in to bless you. Now, the emotional part is what many people forget. Esther Hicks, who is the woman who coined the word law of attraction and whose work the movie The Secret is based on, wrote an entire book called The Astonishing Power of Emotions. Emotions are powerful. When you can master your emotions, you master your ability to shape the future.
That's such a good point. You know, those first 3 steps to kind of prime yourself for the rewards of the universe. It's not something I hear a lot, and it's something that makes a lot of sense. You know, if you just go right for, this is what I want, this is what I want to create. What an interesting first 3 steps to first give thanks, give compassion, and forgiveness, which I think can often, I mean, for me, that can really be the hardest part sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm stunned with what you're bringing to the table here, Vishen, and I have so many follow-up questions, but I want to get on to some of this content. I want to ask you, you know, you talked about these 3 different aspects when it comes to visualization. What do you find are people's biggest hang-ups and roadblocks when it comes to freely exploring future possibilities and future life visions? Where do they get hung up? Do they get hung up on the faith? Do they get hung up on the forgiveness? What do you find?
I think the biggest hang-up that people have is forgiveness. I've been studying forgiveness now for years because I've been fascinated by the science of forgiveness. Studies at the University of Utrecht show that forgiveness improves your vertical jump. A study in Israel found that it improves your endurance.
Whoa.
And scientists are finding that forgiveness actually moves your brain into elevated states of consciousness that better resemble those that they see in Zen Roshi monks who have spent decades meditating.
Whoa.
So there's this spiritual aspect of forgiveness where, when we remove hate, when we remove judgment, when we remove regret from our souls, we become more powerful in terms of every aspect of life. Not just our ability to deal with the ups and downs of life, but also, I believe, our ability to tap into our intuition and manifest our future.
Mm-hmm.
In short, if you are still upset with your ex, if you're still upset with your parents, if you're still upset with your abuser, as much as they were cruel and they deserve it, If you still carry hate and regret, you're holding yourself back.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Do you feel that it's all about priming to let, you know, it's this balance of wanting something and intention and allowing things. But like you said, there's this also this kind of emotional, spiritual priming part of it where the vehicle has to be ready. The recipient has to be ready. The pathway has to be cleared, if you know what I mean, to let in those blessings and have a highway for them to travel on. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I think that's a good way of putting it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that. I can really see that. Do you have advice for Lifebook members who have crafted their life vision, but maybe they're having trouble stepping into it, believing it to be true, believing it to be possible? What advice do you have for them?
Well, I think one of the biggest things that they need to do is to nurture happiness in the now. The six-phase meditation will get you there because the first three phases are about bringing out happiness in the present. Then, as you get to phase four, five, and six, this is where you tie it to your life book. You start visualizing your life unfolding as per your life book. And so the sixth phase is a really good complement to life book.
Yeah, man, I totally agree with that. It's just been such a pleasure dealing with all these different Mind Valley authors, you know, that you guys have been sending my way on the podcast. Having spoken to so many of them, Vishen, let me ask you, do you find, I don't know if you've given this much thought, but having worked with so many of these incredible people, you must be an incredibly open-minded person at this point. I mean, people come up to you and talk to you about matrixes and virtual realities and alternate planes of consciousness and existence. And you're like, okay, I'm all ears. Do you feel that open-mindedness is key?
Actually, no. One of the key things in Mind Valley is healthy skepticism. You'll notice even as I'm talking, so in transformational theory, it is called autonomy. Autonomy means you don't blindly follow the masses. You are skeptical of your politicians. You are skeptical of your preachers. You are skeptical even of what past generations say, right? You're skeptical of tradition. After all, tradition is nothing more than peer pressure from dead people, said one blogger.
Right.
So that amount of healthy skepticism is important. What makes Mind Valley different and what makes Lifebook different is this. If you look at John Butcher's teachings, I was just going through some videos today. And in one of the videos, John and Missy said this. They said, look, there is no one way that's the right way for everyone. Mm-hmm. There are unique ways for each individual. You have to have your vision and then find your way. Now, what makes Mind Valley unique is that there is no one guru. It's not me. It's not John. It's not any of the other 30 or 40 gurus who are the core teachers in Mind Valley. The guru is not in the center. That's dangerous because what if the guru is wrong? We've seen false prophets throughout history. We've seen scammy politicians. What we do instead is we put the student in the center and the teachers are around the student, not the student around the teacher. So you can go to any teacher. You can go to an energy medicine teacher and you can say, okay, I like this. Or you can go, you know, I don't buy this. I want to go and try looking at the next teacher for a solution. You get to move. And likewise, now I do a filter. So I shut down programs all the time on Mind Valley if it gets a low NPS score or if a better teacher comes along. We're not shy about shutting down programs. In fact, in 2017, we shut down 90% of our programs. It focused like a laser on just the best, highest performing programs. Wow. So it's not like I have an infinitely, I receive everything. I'm highly skeptical of everything. Yeah, if I find something and I try it out and it works, then I share it with the world. But even before I share it with the world, I test it on a lot of other people, hundreds at a time. For example, our new program, 10X, which is on rapid muscle development, that one is 3 years of study right now, over 100 participants from all ages before we release the program to the world.
Mm-hmm. That's incredible, man. I think that healthy skepticism combined with the openness to accept new ideas is how we progress and form our own beliefs. Like you said, you know, if it doesn't work for you, move on to the next one. But I think your level of open-mindedness combined with the skepticism has put together a community here that is really quite special, man.
Absolutely.
What can we look forward to in 2020 and beyond for Mind Valley, for you, for Lifebook?
Well, one of the things we are most excited about right now is bringing this to companies and governments around the world. My dream is to take a country and completely transform the consciousness of that entire country by deploying Mind Valley technologies all the way from the schooling system to adult learning. Most countries follow a really outdated industrial age model of education. Mm-hmm. And a key element of that is the country stops educating people at the age of 22. But I mean, as you know, the most crucial point right now where we need to educate people is after 22, because the world is changing so fast.
Yes.
But it's not skill-based education that's easy to come by. It is mindset-based education. It's education on fulfillment, on giving, on kindness, on compassion, on having healthy relationships, on being better parents. How is it that we let billions of people produce babies without teaching them how to be better parents? Oof. How is it that we unleash mass food companies onto the world with their highly effective yet bullshit advertising tactics, and we don't educate our population on nutrition or exercise? And so this is why you see that the world in a way seems kind of broken. According to a Gallup study, 87% of people dislike their jobs. According to other studies, obesity is on the rise across the planet, wherever the American diet makes its appearance.
Right.
And I want to fix that. And to fix that, I want to convince governments around the world to deploy Mindvalley technologies to elevate the consciousness of entire populations in mass. And so I'm actually going out to governments right now and I'm challenging them. I'm like, give me 10 years and I will change the history of your nation and be the best education system in the world.
That is
so
incredible.
And by the way, Lifebook is part of that. Lifebook is the source code so that people first have a vision of where they want to take their lives. And then we deploy the right teachers. So for example, if you want to be a public speaker, you might learn from Lisa Nichols. If you want to extend your lifespan, maybe train for a Spartan race, maybe live life as a weekend warrior or athlete, we might deploy Ben Greenfield. So we are unifying this entire world. And Lifebook is that centerpiece.
So cool. That's so cool. And you know, if someone wants to do their Lifebook and get crystal clear on their life vision, that excites me more than anything. But what you're saying is the most important thing, which is there's such a huge piece missing from our society, from our educational system. I mean, relationships, happiness, and money get no attention in school. I know we've ranted on this before, Vision, but they get no attention in school, and then you're kicked out of school, and that's all you have to do is work on your relationships, your own emotions, and your money. That's like, it's wild that no one has stepped in to fill this role. So it's very inspiring and very comforting to see people like you who are doing this work. So maybe we have a decent future ahead of us. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Well, I'm definitely trying to do my best.
I love it, man. I absolutely love it. Listen, I'm sure you got to get your rest. You probably got another plane to catch. We're not going to keep you long. Vision, this was really a pleasure, I have to say. What a powerful life vision interview. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this, my friend.
Thank you. And thank you everyone for listening.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed Life Vision. Here we go into 2020 as you're crafting your incredible life path forward. I look forward to serving you all throughout 2020 and beyond. This is Jordan River and Vishen Lakhiani signing off, wishing you an extraordinary day. We'll see you next time on the Lifebook Member Podcast.
Thanks, guys. Bye.